In only 2 days, you can move your career further, faster with a Harvard DCE Professional and Executive Development Program. Advance your leadership skills, craft smarter business strategies, build your network, and move your career in the right direction. You'll earn a certificate of completion, add Harvard to your CV, and become the leader you want to be. Our intensive programs are designed to fit into your busy schedule. Attend online or on the Harvard campus. Search Harvard Professional and Executive Development to learn more.
This is The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
Now, here's Frank Morano.
Everybody, this is The Other Side of Midnight on 77W. Oh, excuse me. I was just got in my my local New York mode. This is The Other Side of Midnight all across our great country and from coast to coast, shore to shore. And I was watching with great interest yesterday the press conference, or the rally, I guess I should say, that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. did in announcing his running mate. He picked, as was speculated, Nicole Shanahan. I don't know very much about Nicole Shanahan. She is 38 years old. She is very wealthy. I think she's a billionaire. She used to be married to the head of Google. She's an entrepreneur and a cyber attorney. And I thought she made a very good impression. Now, again, everything that I know about her is basically yesterday, her remarks yesterday. You know what I was also interested in? Do you know who spoke at that rally yesterday? And I wish I would have known that he was going to speak at that rally, because I would have asked him about it when he was on the program yesterday. Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, right after we had him on the program, same day, he spoke at that rally. I would have asked him about it. I almost asked him yesterday, but we ran out of time. I almost asked him, who are you going to vote for? But I felt like it was a little bit, you know, there were other things that we could get to. He didn't say that he was voting for RFK. He was just talking about medical freedom and things of that nature. So here's a little bit of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. explaining why he picked Nicole Shanahan.
Technology has been a lifelong passion for my future vice president. This is important because I also wanted a vice president who shares my indignation about the participation of big tech as a partner in the censorship and the surveillance and the information warfare that our government is currently waging against the American people. And that's why I'm bringing on someone with a deep inside knowledge about how big tech uses AI to manipulate the public. I want to partner with strong ideas about how to reverse those dire threats to democracy and to our freedoms.
That all sounds pretty good to me. Here was Mr. Kennedy introducing Nicole Shanahan.
Now, I have a governing partner who will fight for you and for your family until the last corporate kickback from our government, the last toxin, is cleared from our water and our soil. Until the last American child gets to live a healthy life and to pursue their own happiness in the land of the free. Until the last censor is gone from our government. I'm confident that there is no American more qualified than Nicole Shanahan to play this role. So I'm proud to introduce to all of you the next Vice President of the United States of America, Nicole Shanahan. Thank you all very much.
I'm curious what you think of the pick, 800-848-9222. I mean, I think most of you are probably like me in that you don't necessarily know very much about her. I would have preferred Jesse Ventura, honestly. I recognize that she brings a lot of things to the table that Jesse Ventura doesn't. One, and I'm trying to look at this objectively, even though I'm a big fan of Jesse's. She brings a level of youth that is lacking in this presidential race. I mean, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is 70 years old. If he's elected, he will be one of the oldest presidents ever sworn in American history. Now, the two people that he's running against are in their 80s. So, I mean, or I guess 78 in the case of Trump, 82 in the case of Biden. So Kennedy looks young by comparison, but he's still, as far as from a historical perspective, he's still old. She also brings a level of wealth that they are going to need for this campaign. And if she can spend, if she's willing to spend $100-150 million of her own money to finance this campaign, that brings this campaign into a whole new level, a whole new level. You're not going to be able to beat Trump and Biden dollar for dollar, but you will have a situation where enough people know that you're running. She's the one that paid for that very controversial, turned out to be controversial. I didn't think it was controversial. Super Bowl ad with Robert F. Kennedy Jr., sort of that old timey commercial. She paid for that. So she's shown a willingness to open up her checkbook before. And honestly, she is very attractive. So I think in an age of television, that does play a role with a lot of people. And she's a woman, which in the race where, you know, where you have a lot of female voters that are going to be deciding factors in a lot of these states, doesn't hurt to have a woman on the ticket versus Jesse Ventura. The other thing with Jesse Ventura is, and I love him, it's part of what I like about him, he's such a wild card. You never have any idea what he's going to say. I remember when he was governor, he said at one point early in his term that organized religion was a sham and a crutch for weak-minded people. And you know, if he's a vice presidential nominee, he's going to be doing 900 interviews a day and saying all sorts of crazy stuff. He's also said some things about September 11th and the World Trade Center that I think Robert F. Kennedy Jr. would probably not want to have to answer for. So I think those are probably some of the factors that led him to pick Ms. Shanahan instead of Jesse Ventura. But I did get an email from Ventura today, yesterday rather, indicating that he's preparing to make a major announcement of his own. Didn't say what it was. It didn't sound like it was political, but he said that he's launching a new venture very soon. And when he launches this, we're going to be among the first shows that he appears on to talk about it. So that's going to be interesting. Here was Nicole Shanahan, the running mate for Robert F. Kennedy Jr., former Democrat.
I am leaving the Democratic Party. And I want to say two things about that. First, even though I am leaving the party, I believe I am taking the best ideals and impulses with me. The Democratic Party is supposed to be the party of compassion. It is supposed to be the party of diplomacy and science. It is supposed to be the party of civil liberties and free speech. And most importantly, the party of the middle class and the American dream. While I know many Democrats still abide by those values, I want to point out, and I've been in touch with many people in the Democratic Party, I do believe they've lost their way in their leadership.
And she talked a little bit about being a disillusioned Democrat in a country where there are also a lot of disillusioned Republicans.
As I've re-examined my Democratic Party assumptions, I have seen conservative voters with new eyes, too. I have met farmers, I have met hunters, who are some of the most staunch conservationists I have ever met, who understand ecosystems better than most. I have met mothers protecting their children who are searching every possible avenue for their health. And yet the Republican Party, like the Democratic, is letting them down because the actions of the party are diverting from the values that actually support individual freedom. In fact, the very failure of both parties to do their job to protect their founding values has contributed to the decline of this country in my lifetime. Maybe that's why I see so many Republicans disillusioned with their party as I become disillusioned with mine. If you are one of those disillusioned Republicans, I welcome you to join me, a disillusioned Democrat, in this movement to unify and heal America.
So my impression of her, and again, this is the only time I've ever heard her speak, was that she seemed a little nervous at the outset, but once the crowd started responding to the things that she was saying, and I liked a lot of what she was saying, I think she kind of warmed up a bit and got a little bit more into it. I mean, speaking to a crowd of any size, it's not an easy thing. And if you're not used to it, it's all the more difficult. I'll play one more clip here talking about, a lot of folks wonder what she believes in. Here she talks about what she believes in terms of foreign policy.
The vision we share is a vision of national healing. It is an America that leads the world no longer through force of arms, but through the power of example. It is an America that wages peace through diplomacy. It is an America that had become the sickest industrialized country on the earth and turned it around. We're going to turn it around. It is an America where everyone who works hard can afford a decent life. It is an America where people of all races receive fair and equal treatment under the law. It is an America whose freedoms are the envy of the world. It is an America with honest and transparent government institutions. Can you imagine a country whose government doesn't lie to you?
So I liked a lot of what I heard. I'd like to hear a lot more. I'm going to invite her on this program for an interview. But look, this could turn out to be a good pick. We'll see. And I'm curious what you think of the pick. 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. Meantime, I was talking about my second cousin, Amanda, earlier. And she's my second cousin. She is the daughter of my first cousin once removed. And the reason that she's my second cousin is because we share not a set of grandparents, but a set of great-grandparents. We are both great-grandchildren of Carmine and Madeline Moreno, or as they called him, Charlie. They called him Charlie, but his name was Carmine. So we're second cousins. So, and her child is my second cousin once removed, and her child is my son's third cousin. They're third cousins because they share a set of great-great-grandparents. Again, Carmine and Madeline, right? So I get this email a minute ago from Preston, who writes, Frank, the subject, your second cousin. Frank, just a clarification on an often mixed-up relationship. A child of your first cousin once removed is your first cousin twice removed. Now, immediately, I'm reading this, I'm saying, what? So he's saying that my cousin Amanda, who I've always thought was my second cousin, is actually my first cousin twice removed? I'm not so sure. So let me read on here in this email. A first cousin once removed is a child of either of your parents' first cousin. Right. Okay. A second cousin of yours is the child of your great aunt or great uncle. Not true. A first cousin is a child of your aunt or uncle. It all goes to, and then he writes, simple, huh? With some smiley faces. Not at all accurate. So I go and look this up. I said, is it possible that I've been calling my second cousin a second cousin when she's actually my first cousin twice removed? So I go look this up, and Preston is absolutely wrong. And I'm only mentioning this because a lot of you might be running around out there misstating your cousin relationship. A first cousin twice removed is a grandchild or grandparent of your first cousin. So that is not at all what this person said. A second cousin once removed is the child of your second cousin or the parent of your third cousin, right? Okay, makes sense. So first cousin twice removed is your grandparent's first cousin or the grandchild of your first cousin. Preston is totally out to lunch. doesn't know what he's talking about, at least as it relates to cousinology. So I'm mentioning this because a lot of you probably went to this Preston School of Cousinhood, and I'm trying to help you out here. So if you are under the impression that a first cousin once removed, that a child of your first cousin once removed is your first cousin twice removed, boy, oh boy, you're as misinformed as Preston is. So 800-848-9222. Hey, our listener of the week, Ray, who did a yeoman's job yesterday, is calling in once again. Ray, thank you again for the terrific job that you did yesterday.
Hey, Frank, good morning. Pleasure to help you.
Well, okay.
I listen to you every day.
Thank you.
Anyhow, Frank, they have the tide shifting a little bit, moving this steel around a little bit over the bow of this ship. And they're trying to get some barges in here with some cranes to secure it so it don't crush the top of them vehicles in there.
Well, I think that sounds like a prudent measure at this point.
Yeah, well, it's believe me, it's there was all kinds of big shots here yesterday over this. It's not going to, somebody's going to be at fault. And I kind of think they're pointing at the boat.
Well, I would think, depending on what the results of the investigation yield, I think that would make sense. Hey, Ray, do you have email?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, Frank, check this out. Before he pulled from dock, because I know some guys that loaded that ship, he had problems at dock with his electric cutting the freezers out.
Well, when you say he, who is the he?
The captain of the vessel should have never pulled all the way from that dock when the power kept going out at the dock.
You know, someone asked me, where's the interview with the captain? What were the results of his toxicology report?
They brought him off that ship yesterday, brought him in the land, put him in a state police car and shuggled him out of there.
I think it's a fair question. I'd like to know some answers from this captain as well. Ray, I'm going to put you on hold. Matt will give you my email. Email me your song picks for tomorrow. As listener of the week, you get to pick the music that we are playing. 800-848-9222. 800-848-9222. Mary is in New Jersey. Hi, Mary.
Oh, hi, Frank.
Hi.
Oh, first of all, I want to say you have a very appealing voice.
Thank you.
So don't listen to that.
Oh.
Yes, very, very charming voice. And and also that person, his name was Barry, who sent you that wonderful blessing. Boy, I wish you could have him on to interview him, and he could tell you all about his father in the IRA. I was fascinated.
Hey,
that.
So was I. I'd love to talk to him about it. It sounds great.
Oh, that'd be great. I called because people were speculating that Singapore was going to pay for the damages. The damages and the injuries would be paid for by the Ocean Marine Protection and Indemnity Insurance. It's not going to be Singapore isn't going to pay for it. It's there are different syndicates that are made up of the owners of these big shipping businesses because there's so much money. You know, in all of that. So,
is there a limit to how much they would be paying out in a claim? I mean, I would think if the damages end up being something like $250 million, that it would be very difficult, even if they're fully insured, to make up that money.
Well, I think there would be a limit to it, but. You know, these limits are very, very big. And yeah. I don't know if they have reinsurance over that, but, you know, if that applies for Ocean Marine Insurance. Oh, and that word elision, yeah, that shows up in Ocean Marine Insurance. So that guy was very good.
That is, that is good. Yeah. I like that a lot. Thank you, Mary. Great call. Appreciate it. 800-848-9222. I wanted to mention this. I don't follow collegiate athletics too closely. But there's this story where there was, a coach of one of these teams, Kim Mulkey. Have you heard about this? Very bizarre. So over the weekend, Kim Mulkey was, she did this this press conference where she called out the Washington Post for a story, but nobody has seen the story. No one knows what it was. So she is, they're saying this is kind of the Streisand effect. She attempted to discredit a story before the story was written. So she's a basketball coach for Louisiana. She's the head coach for Louisiana State University's women's basketball team. And apparently they're working on a negative story about her. The Washington Post is. And she unloaded, not just saying that the story's about to come out isn't true, but threatening to sue the Washington Post.
I'm not going to let the Washington Post attack this university, this awesome team of young women I have, or me without a fight. I've hired the best defamation law firm in the country, and I will sue the Washington Post if they publish a false story about me.
Now, this is so bizarre. And this is, as one newsletter, The Morning Brew, put it, Kim Mulkey is about to become the first person you think about when someone mentions the Streisand effect. Do you know what the Streisand effect is? The Streisand effect is an unintended consequence of attempts to hide, remove, or censor information where the effort instead backfires by increasing public awareness of the information. It's named for Barbara Streisand, who in 2003 tried to suppress a photographer's publication of a photo showing her residence in Malibu. And inadvertently, it drew far greater attention to this previously obscure photograph. That's what Kim Mulkey is doing. I didn't know who Kim Mulkey was, and I don't know what this story in The Washington Post is going to be, but now I want to read it. Whenever it comes out, I want to read it. So she called this story that she had not yet read a hit piece and questioned the timing of an interview request submitted just as LSU was set to play in the NCAA tournament, although she admitted the Post's reporter asked to speak to her for the past 2 years. Very weird thing. Not a good way to handle this, as far as I'm concerned. The best thing you can do, I mean, I've been subjected to many negative news stories over the years, many negative articles over the years. You know what you do? You do your best to answer the questions, or you don't respond, and then you move on. You move on and don't say anything, and eventually it blows over. It happens every time. I mean, some things blow over more easily than others. 800-848-9222. David is in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Hi, David.
Hi, Frank. You ready to go home to Rachel in less than a couple hours?
I'd like to think so. Yeah, I mean, I still have some things to do here, but yes.
Hey, a party that could form in the true democratic way in this democracy with the guidance of the Democratic Party is the ultra-conservatives. The ultra-conservatives lower the voting age to 16. It would attract a lot of women voters. The ultra-conservationists. Around the same functions of the Green Party in some other countries.
I'm trying to figure out if I should put in the effort
in the Democratic
to find
way
out
under the
logic
Democratic,
of what he's
the
saying.
Democrats leadership.
I'm leaning towards no.
And a lot of women would be attracted to that that form of what could become our government.
David, two questions. One, what does lowering the voting age to 16 have to do with conservation?
A lot of young people should get more involved in conservation. They take classes in high school, junior high even, conservation classes that propel them into the ability to vote in an election. there's a lot of smart kids out there that, want to have a say in the democratic way with the ultra, possibly the ultra conservatist party.
What now, when you say conservatist, are you trying to say conservationist, or you actually mean it should be conservatist?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, conservationalists.
Right. And then my second question is, with the exception of the advocacy for the lower voting age, how would the ultra-conservationist party be different than the Green Party at all?
Well, France today, I believe, is giving a lot of euros or U.S. dollars for tropical rainforest.
You're right. I shouldn't have gone this road.
To slow down, to stop, to help Lula da Silva in Brazil reduce, stop the tropical rainforest deforestation.
All right, David. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm certainly not for deforestation of the rainforest. No doubt about it. Original Rick is in New Jersey. Hi, Rick.
Yes, good morning, Frank. I need you to clear up something.
Sure, sure.
About the first, second, and third cousin.
Sure. Crap.
Okay. The son of my cousin, what is he to me?
The son of your first cousin?
Yes.
First cousin once removed.
Huh. Okay. Then how about his son?
His son is your first cousin twice removed.
So what makes a second cousin?
If someone that you have a set of, that you share a set of great grandparents with, but you don't share a set of grandparents with.
Okay, I got to figure that out.
No, right. So think of your first. How many first cousins do you have?
Well, I only have one.
One. Okay. Oh. So with that first cousin, you guys have the same grandparents, but not the same parents, right?
On one side, yeah.
Right. Well, obviously. Yeah. I mean, there is, I guess, such a thing as a double first cousin, but that's rare. It's not what we're talking about here. So if there's anybody in your family that you don't share the same parents with or the same grandparents with, but you do share the same great grandparents with, that person is your second cousin.
And that's the one you can marry.
Yes. Anything second. Well, I mean, it depends on the state, but yes, in most places, second cousin or beyond, you can marry them.
Because I think most people, Frank, think that the son of your cousin or child of your cousin is going to be your second cousin. I think that in most people's head, that's how it works.
Yeah. Well, they're wrong because, right. I'm not. It's going to sound like I'm joking when I say this, but I'm totally serious, because the question you asked about marriage is so important, because Rudy Giuliani, who I adore, I love, he thought that his first wife was his second cousin. And in actuality, she was his first cousin twice removed, or something along those lines. It was a closer relationship than second cousin. So he ended up marrying someone that was a closer relation than he thought. And that relationship is what they were able to use to get their marriage annulled. And so this is important for people to know, because when you're at the family reunion, looking at who you can marry and who you cannot marry, it's important to know who the seconds are and who the first cousins once removed are. I mean, Tony doesn't want anybody marrying cousins. Don't get Tony started. It's a third rail issue for him. 800-848-9222. If you want to comment on anything we've talked about this hour, be my guest. 800-848-9222. Oh, you know, speaking of sports, there are some new changes in kickoff rules for the NFL. And I'm all for doing whatever it takes to reduce injuries in the NFL, because we've covered this. But here are the changes, and I question what impact this is going to have on the game itself and on the injuries. But the key changes that just came out this week, approved by the NFL this week, the kicking team is still going to kick from the 35-yard line, but players on the kicking team will line up at the opponent's 40. Those players cannot move, and the kicker himself cannot cross the 50 until the ball hits the ground or a receiving player in the landing zone or the end zone. Next, the receiving team must have a minimum of 9 players lined up in the setup zone, which is between the 30 and the 35-yard line, with a maximum of 2 returners lined up in the landing zone. Next, any kick that hits the landing zone must be returned, while any kick that bounces into the end zone from the landing zone must either be returned or downed by the receiving team for a touchback to the 20-yard line. Next, any kick short of the landing zone gives possession to the receiving team at its own 40. Any kick that hits the end zone and is downed is a touchback to the 30, and any kick that goes out of the back of the end zone is also a touchback to the 30. Here's the one that I find most puzzling. There are no more fair catches. And I don't know that I get that. How is that going to prevent injury? And again, I don't pretend to know a lot about football, but I don't know that I understand that one immediately. There are no onside kicks until the fourth quarter begins and a team is trailing, and current onside kick rules would apply. Next, kickoffs after safeties will be from the 20. This is another one I don't get. And the kicker will have the option to use a tee. Setup and landing zones will not change. And then lastly, penalties that carry over to kickoffs would only impact the spot of the kick, not the setup or landing zones, and not where the players line up. Hey, Tony, you know a thing or two about football. Do you have any idea why doing away with the fair catch is going to reduce injury?
It's not. You're going to get hurt even more.
Well, that's my view. Right?
You're looking up in the air to catch the ball, then you got a 6'5", 300-plus-pound man coming at you full speed. It's going to knock you on your block.
So why are they doing that?
I have no idea.
It has nothing to do with injury. They're doing it to make more kickoff returns. That's why the people can't move until the ball hits the ground or they catch the ball and there's no fair catch because they have to run.
I see. Okay, so that has nothing to do with injury.
No, they're trying to just make the game more exciting and more returns for touchdowns.
Interesting. All right. Okay, there we go. These guys know a thing or two about a thing or two. Hey, I got word from Bruce, who is looking for an escort for his cataract surgery. He lives in Manhattan, and his surgery is going to be April 8th on Monday. So now I was going to say that I'll do it. I'll escort him. But the problem is April 8th is the day of the eclipse, right? So I kind of have other plans for the eclipse. So I was going to spend the time with my son and do some cool stuff, you know, maybe even on radio, and I don't know. But I don't know that that's the best day when you've had eye surgery to be walking around. I have to think another day is better, Bruce. I mean, and I'm not just saying this because I can't do it, but I have to think if you're getting eye surgery when it's going to be dark in the middle of the day, I don't know about that one. I don't know about that one. But there you go. If anybody does want to help Bruce, email me and I'll put you in touch with him. frank.moreno@redappleaudionetworks.com. I don't like to do that because, you know, let's say Bruce is a lunatic, right? And you offer to help him and something happens, God forbid, you get hit by a bus or something. Whose fault is it? Oh, it's Frank Moreno's fault. So that's why I said I'd rather almost do it myself, but I'm not going to do it the day of the eclipse. I'm not able to do it. But if you want to help, email me. frank.moreno@redappleaudionetworks.com. All right, we'll continue with your calls straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
This is Greg Kelly. To my friends in the construction business, if you've been injured on the job, make just one call to the Construction Accident Lawyers at the law offices of Darren T. Moore. With hundreds of five-star reviews, they fight for more justice for every client and have secured millions of dollars in compensation for New York construction workers. Call 888-444-ATTY. That's 888-444-2889 for a free consultation.
More diligence, more persistence, and more justice.
Prior results don't guarantee similar outcomes.
Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
Music selection from my wife Rachel, who is a big fan of Wilson Pickett. So, happy birthday, Wilson Phillips, excuse me. Happy birthday once again to my beautiful, understanding, and incredibly kind wife Rachel. Looking forward to doing something fun with you a little bit later. I'm an animal person, right? I like animals. I despise anyone that would intentionally be cruel to an animal, but I'm not crazy about it, right? When I say I couldn't be in PETA. I'm not going to say that there should never be anything like animal research for medicines or anything like that. I want to avoid animal cruelty. I eat animal products, right? So I'm not rabidly an animal rights person, I guess is the best way to describe it. But I'm reading this one article yesterday, which I have to tell you, I knew nothing about. There is pressure growing. This is from Semaphore. Pressure is growing on researchers testing antidepressants to stop using the controversial forced swim test on rats. Have you ever heard about this? I never in my life have heard about this. And I've read a great deal about animal testing. I've read a great deal about antidepressants and their efficacy and all sorts of other things. Never heard of this in my life. Apparently, rats, and this sounds crazy, but apparently this is done. Rats are put in water. And I can't even believe I'm about to say this, but this is seriously what they do. They're put in water, and the assumption is that depressed animals will give up swimming more quickly. So if a rat, I don't mean to laugh, but this is just so stupid. So if a rat on antidepressants swims longer, it suggests the treatment is working. But the Australian and UK governments have recently moved to reduce its use, and the U.S. National Institute of Mental Health has discouraged it. Scientists are concerned it's not a good model for human mental health. Yeah, I would think not. Psychologists increasingly believe depression is not a single disorder and that the cruelty to animals is unjustified. One scientist told Semaphore she'd prefer other methods, but, you know, the alternatives are somewhat missing. This is crazy. Because a rat stops swimming, we're assuming he's depressed. Because a rat keeps swimming, we think an antidepressant is working. This is ludicrous. This reminds me of something that they would have done in Salem to determine who was a witch or not. This is crazy. I am glad to join the movement of people that are trying to stop this. This is terrible. No reason to drown all these poor rats. And if you're a rat, you better look awful cheerful because you don't want people to think you're too depressed. They're going to drop you in some water. Whew. Would not want to be Sammy Gravano when they're doing these experiments. I'll tell you that. 800-848-9222. Let me say hello to Robert in Suffolk. Hi, Robert.
Hi, Frank. I think that bill is an abomination. It offers no protection.
Which bill are you talking about, Robert?
The one about TikTok and what the government can do. Why should they be the arbiter of free speech?
You don't think TikTok should be banned?
I believe it should be changed to be an American company.
But that's what the bill does.
Yes, but it goes way beyond that.
Well, what else does it do?
Kind of sign the label of national security to just about anything they want to restrict free speech? No.
All right. Well, thank you, Robert. I don't know that I'm following. On the one hand, you're saying it should be changed to an American company, but my understanding, that's what the bill does. Maybe I'm getting old. Too many gray hairs. You know, somebody messaged me yesterday. Somebody I went out with a couple of times, a young lady that I haven't seen in years, but I went out with her a couple of times years ago, and she was a few years older than me. And she saw this video I put on Instagram, and she basically said, "Oh my, you look so distinguished now, and now you look as old as I am." Meaning, she's saying I look old. I said, I don't know if you were trying to masquerade that as a compliment, but I took it very much as not a compliment. And look, I recognize I have a lot of gray hair. I get it. But maybe my inability to follow kind of what some folks are saying is an indication that gray hair is an indicia of my brain aging. You know, I was listening to William Shatner tell a certain reporter that certain things happen at certain ages and that, you know, maybe your brain doesn't work as fast as it did at certain ages. I hope I'm not at that age yet. We'll see. Hey, there is a very popular show called Yellowstone. I haven't seen it, but people love this show. People, my neighbor Tara, this is all she talks about. Yellowstone, Yellowstone, Yellowstone. And there's an actor on this show named Forey J. Smith. And he took to Instagram on Saturday to say that he was kicked off a flight and left stranded in Houston after refusing to sit next to another passenger wearing a mask. Now, this really hit home with me because I ended up sitting next to a passenger wearing a mask. And I mean, she was rude. Not rude. She was unappreciative of my looking out for her for other reasons. I thought she was somewhat lacking as a seatmate, but I didn't care that she wore a mask. It made it difficult for me to read her facial expressions and things like that. But, you know, if she wants to wear a mask, God bless you. As long as I don't have to wear a mask. This guy was so worked up that he had to sit next to someone that was masked on an airplane that he actually got kicked off and was apparently stranded in Houston. Here's a little bit of what Forey J. Smith, now we only have one side of the story, but here's a little bit of what Forey J. Smith said on Instagram this past weekend.
Like, I just got kicked off a plane in, where the hell am I at? Houston, Texas. Because I told them that I didn't feel comfortable sitting next to somebody with a mask on. Yeah, I've been drinking. I've been sitting in the airport for 3 hours. Yeah, I'm drinking. I ain't drunk. But they throw me off the plane because I'm drunk. Because you people won't stand up and tell everybody what bullshit this is. I just told them I didn't feel comfortable about sitting next to somebody that had to wear a mask.
Now, I don't know what this guy sounds like normally. You guys know anything about this guy? You ever see the show?
I have no idea.
Matt?
I was just saying to Tony, I don't like any kind of Western shows.
You don't like Westerns?
No.
I love Westerns.
I really don't.
I love Westerns.
That's what, well, how come you don't watch this then?
My day is filled. I mean, people should follow me around for a day, and then they will have no questions about how come you don't do this or do that.
Well, instead of watching Star Trek II for the 800th time, check out Yellowstone.
These days, my Star Trek II screenings are limited to whenever William Shatner asked me to MC an event with him. But, you know, honestly, I keep a list of TV series that I will watch one day, and Yellowstone is on it. But to me, a television series requires such a large commitment, and I can't do more than one series at a time. It takes too much. And so I'll do one, maybe one with my wife and one solo sometimes. I'll do. But anyway, so I don't know anything about this 4E J. Smith. I don't know what he sounds like normally, because some people sound drunk when they're not. You know, we used to have Andy B. call into this show. The guy hadn't drank in years, and he did sound drunk. And when he would call Mark Simone, Mark Simone would always make fun of him for being drunk. He wasn't. And there were other fellas, too. You know, Mark Gastineau. He called into one radio program, and I thought he sounded drunk. And then people told me, no, he's got Alzheimer's or Parkinson's or both or something along those lines. He was clearly afflicted somehow. I don't know what 4E J. Smith sounds like naturally. I will tell you, this guy who apparently plays Lloyd Pierce on this hit show, he sounds like he's drunk there. Maybe he's not, but he says he's been sitting in the airport for 3 hours. I don't know why you would ever get that worked up. I don't know why you would care about sitting next to someone who's wearing a mask on a plane. What's it to you? What are you afraid? They're going to rob you? So to me, it sounds like, and now I've been drunk a number of times myself. When you're drunk, you do stuff like this. You say all sorts of crazy things like this. And I think this guy is way out of line. And then to openly post this on Instagram and complain about it when he's the idiot. I mean, I feel bad that he got stranded in Houston, but I don't think that he's right at all. Tell me what you think. You're welcome to disagree. You may dissent without prejudice. 800-848-9222, straight ahead.
The Other Side of Midnight. It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
I'd like to know, 'cause here I go again.
Wings. This is another birthday bumper music selection from my wife, Rachel. This was actually our wedding song. And, you know, this was the song that we had our first dance to. And, you know, we practiced once or twice before our actual wedding. And, you know, you practice in civilian clothes, not wedding clothes. So there was one part of this song where I try to spin her a little bit or something, I don't know, some sort of move. And she gets poked by the needle on my boutonniere. And in the middle of our first dance, I'm not joking about any of this, she starts gushing blood because she's now been stabbed, you know, by the needle in my boutonniere. And then, you know, they open up the dance floor for everybody who wants to dance or come say hello. And so all sorts of people are coming over and saying hello. And she's bleeding all over the place. And she really, both of us are being so deluged with people. You know, we had a lot of people, 350 people or so. We couldn't really navigate to get a bandage or something. But then finally, my friend Derek Tobacco was able to get a cloth napkin to wrap around her finger to stop the bleeding after a time. And it wasn't that serious, thankfully. But that's that. You know, it's funny. We do a lot of times when we're busy, we will do the service where if we don't have time to the grocery store, you request what you want and somebody from the grocery store will bring you the items that you ordered. And the grocery store that's closest to us is a Stop and Shop. So a lot of times we'll go there. And we had a lot going on this past weekend. Seems like almost every weekend we had a lot going on. So she put in an order for groceries to arrive on Sunday. I think it was Sunday, Palm Sunday. And she was leaving the house to go, you know, run some errands or something. And she said, look, these groceries are going to be here by 1 o'clock. And I still had not yet showered. And I'm starting, we were going to my dad's for Palm Sunday. And I'm starting to think, well, should I wait? I said, I'll shower. So lo and behold, my wife comes back at 1:30, 1:45. Groceries are still not there. Still not there. So we leave finally at 2:15, and it's an hour after the time they're supposed to, you know, bring the groceries. Nobody calls to say they're running late or they can't make it. And so we ultimately had to cancel the whole thing. It's terrible. Your influence counts. Use it.